Hello.
This is our third and final podcast.
Hello. We'll be talking about chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10.
And it's called The Semi-Attached Figure.
Okay, so this chapter I really didn't like because he used so many different examples to prove the same thing. And I couldn't really relate to most of them. But they were basically talking about, like it says in the first sentence, if you can't prove what you want to, demonstrate something else and pretend that they're the same thing. And he was talking about, like, how to sound good and how to, like, have a cover over yourself and, like, hide what's underneath. So, like, for one of the examples, it was about curing colds. And it said, make sure that the laboratory is reputable or has an impressive name. So he's all about what sounds good.
Instead of, like, the actual product.
Yeah.
I agree with all the examples within this book, but they were somewhat confusing because it was a lot. I felt that it should have been more in-depth and, like, more understanding towards some of the scenarios. They were just really, like, short and sweet, then it moved on to the next one. And it just made it so it was, like, left you on a hanger, and you're just like, what did I just read? And then you just move on to something totally new, so you just forget it, basically.
I feel like this chapter was pretty similar to, like, the first one, where none of us really understood what
right.
was happening.
So, on page 78, the author talks about how we should think in a very basic, simple way. So he uses the example about how more people get in accidents during, like, normal weather when it's sunny and clear outside because, you know, people are on their normal routine, whether it's to get to work or to school. But when it's foggy outside, people don't get into accidents more than if it was clear weather because they're more cautious about their surroundings and other cars and people that may be driving or crossing the street. So really, when you first hear about it, you may think, well, you know, people who drive in foggy weather might get into more accidents because there's, like, an obstacle. Which
you can't,
like,
see.
Exactly, so they can't see. But in reality, it's really the clear weather that causes the most accidents.
Mm-hmm. And there's another example that he gives on page 79 that's the same concept that says it was reported that the number of deaths chargeable to steam railroads in 1 year was over 4,000. But when you really look at it, there were only 132 out of the whole 4,000 people. But when you really investigate it, there were only 132 out of the whole 4,000 that were actually passengers on the trains, and everything else was people in their cars that collided the train and other things like that. So they're really just making something sound way worse than it seems or way better than it seems.
So the last example that's in chapter 7 is the herons.
Yeah, so the Harris it's this woman. She's very old, ugly, tired, whatever you want to call it, I guess. And they say that she gets her hair rinsed, and then they have this picture where she's all glamified and beautiful and curvy, and she just looks way better than what she did before. And it's just so much false advertising because a hair rinse doesn't just change your whole physical appearance. Like, now she's like, she has, like, all these curves and figures, while before she was just, like, a block or whatnot.
like the book says, more credible unto the photographer than to the rinse.
Right.
So they're false advertising or misleading the consumer, just like they've done with every other exam.
And I feel like they do this. I feel like they do this in a lot of commercials now, like with the Victoria's Secret commercials.
Or weight loss.
Yeah.
Jenny Craig or something like that. Like,
yeah.
They say, this is what I was.
They'll be like
300
pounds before, and then they'll be like 102 pounds. And
you're
like, there's no way.
What? In
right.
4 weeks? Like,
or even with, like, even with acne commercials now, they'll, like, look awful
all
before, and then they'll look like they should be in
right.
Vogue after,
exactly.
And there's no way Proactive did all that.
Right.
That's, like, one of the only examples that I can honestly relate to from this time period, from when the book was written.
Yeah, chapter 7 was kind of hit or miss, mostly a miss for all of us.
Right.
So, chapter 8, The Post-Hoc Rides Again. This was another hit or miss And it's whether you understand what he's talking about in this, honestly. I mean, that's how I took it. The first thing that caught my attention was the smoking and bad grades. And so he really made the reader guess whether it was the smokers had bad grades because they were smoking, or they had bad grades and then they started smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really the person who's reading trying to figure out what happened during the situation.
This chapter is all about, like, talking about what Helen said. Like, this one says, the more money you make, the more stock you buy, and the more stock you buy, the more income you get. So you don't know which one causes the other.
Also, another example was the rain and the crops. They were saying how the rain seems to be a blessing because it waters the crops, makes them grow and whatnot. But since it's the season of heavy rainfall, it may damage or even ruin the crops so that way it doesn't grow at all.
Okay, so chapter 9 talks about how to staticulate.
So chapter 9 was really about it was a review of all the other chapters. It told the reader how to look at advertising and to see what the people are doing to make you want to buy their products.
So this chapter is basically about manipulating the readers by using statistics. So basically, it's kind of like a cheat sheet for us to watch out for, like, the manipulation and the false advertisement. So it kind of gives us, like, the behind-the-scenes, so to speak, insight of what's really going on. So, yeah, Helen's going to talk about the example, and yeah.
So the example that really stuck out to me was how some of the advertisers use the kids in the family income to lower the family income. So they would do it by the mean, and they would add up everybody's income, including the children, who obviously don't make anything because they're, like, toddlers. So it would lower the family income by a lot. So that really stuck out to me because I have seen ads with, you know, talking about family income, whether it be in, you know, somebody running for governor or something like that, or one of those easy, like, cash for gold or something like that. So that really stuck out to me. Another example is on page 120, and you can see the picture of a woman using an egg beater, and she says, "I just love my new mixed-up egg beater. It's so flimsy and cheap." And then if you look at the paragraph above it, you can see how the author talks about how copywriters don't just do stuff with statistics. They also go around with, like, English and stuff like that. So they'll say, instead of flimsy and cheap, they'll say light and economical.
All right, so now we're going to do chapter 10. It's called How to Talk Back to a Statistic.
So in the beginning of this chapter, he talks about that you don't need, like, hardcore statistical information from a lab, but you can prod things with 5 simple questions and still find the answers without learning a lot.
So the questions he's asking us to look for are, who says so? How does he know? Did someone change the subject? And does it make sense?
And he used examples within those 5 questions to talk about.
This is only 4 questions. So the 5 questions are, who says so? What's missing? How does he know? Did someone change the subject? And does it make sense?
So on the 3rd paragraph, the author talks about the economic structure and how he says the cracks in the economic structure were joyously overlooked, and all sorts of evidence was adduced and statistically supported to show that we had no more than entered the stream of prosperity. So basically this part of the chapter was just talking about, like, a biased statement and, you know, the opinions of other people.
This part of the chapter began to talk about stock. But the way that the stock was split was kind of iffy. I didn't understand what they were saying at first, but when I actually started to look at the picture, it made a lot more sense. It was showing that 3 men who were on top owned 3/4 of the stock, while the other thousands of people, 3,000 of people, they had 1/4 of the stock, which was kind of strange to me. I thought that was unfair, but it's true. So it's like, what can you do? And this concludes our podcast. Thanks for listening.